right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Carrie Kasem is with us every other Tuesday. She's here tonight. And also Teresa Strasser. She is on the morning show every single morning from 5 to 10 a.m. Really,
yes.
6 to 10 a.m.
And I should say, yeah, 6 to 10. And I should say that Adam always has the nicest things to say about you.
Is that right?
Yeah, he always raves. I think he does your show some Friday nights.
Every Friday night he's on with
and
us.
And he always talks about how great you are and how professional, and he
Holy
really likes
smokes.
You.
Wow, I got to write that down. Did you get recording this?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I recorded.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you noticed, but he generally has mostly complaints about things.
Yes, he does. Well, the reason we want to have him on every Friday is I don't think there's anybody in radio or on TV who makes me personally laugh as much as he does. And if I'm laughing, I guess somebody at home is too, or in their car.
You nice hope. Job, retard.
Thank you very much. But you know, this is a typical, and then we'll get to some of these calls, but this is a typical Adam Carolla mindset when it comes to thinking about different ways to run your life. I was at a casino in Palm Springs. And I left the casino with my daughter and my wife, and we were driving back home, and happened to be the day of the Preakness. And they both fell asleep in the car. So I'm talking to a friend of mine, Jimmy Costello, on the East Coast, and we're trying to figure out who's going to win the Preakness. So he says, I like the 6-4, put on the 6-4, throw the 9 in there. I said, all right. So I'm driving back to L.A., and I slide off the 210 freeway into Santa Anita, right? Now, my wife,
family's sleeping still.
My wife and daughter are still sleeping, so I jack the guy at the valet parking and say, here's a fiver.
Keep it
you,
close.
You got another 5 coming. Just keep the air conditioning on and watch these two in the car. So I slide in there. I come out, and I get back. My wife's up, and she goes, what the F are you doing? And I said, I just made a couple of bets on the Preakness. Uh-huh. She said, who leaves a casino and then drives right to a racetrack with their family sleeping in the
Somebody
car.
Somebody who should be in Gamblers Anonymous.
Oh, man.
And so I told Carolla this, and I said, Carolla, do you think I have a problem? He said, well, let me ask you a question. Did you stop to gamble on the way to the racetrack? And I said, no. I said, I went right from the casino right to the racetrack. He says, you're fine.
You're fine. You could have stopped.
All right. You live in a crappy neighborhood here. Let's talk to Adrian. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hey, baby. All right.
Okay. Well, I don't live in one now, but I grew up in Irvine, and when I was 18, I decided I wanted to move to L.A. to an area called the Jungle. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's near La Brea and Coliseum, and my parents were pissed off about me moving there, and they had good reason. My car was stolen twice, and the second time, my mom came to visit me. We went to dinner. When we got back to dinner, my car was gone, so we decided to kind of drive around and look because I figured someone from the neighborhood may have taken it. We were sitting at a stoplight, and I heard all these sirens, and I turned around, and I had a little 84 Mazda 626 at the time. My car just flew past me with like 4 guys in the car, and there were like 5 police cars chasing them. I'm like, that's my car, that's my car. So I told my mom to follow them, and we were at the red light, so we had to wait until it changed, and we followed them back into the neighborhood, and it was like a scene out of a movie. There were helicopters, police cars, and my car was like at the top of the hill, all the doors open, and they had a couple of guys on the curb, and then I think a couple of guys got away, but area, oh my goodness.
I didn't know that
possessed you to move there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
What made you move there?
Because I wanted my own place, and the rent was super cheap, and I couldn't afford to live in Irvine by myself.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that area was referred to as the Jungle, but I remember, this is how dangerous that area is. I was doing a drive along with LAPD, and I said, hey, can we go to like La Brea and Coliseum, that area, because I know there's always action there, and he says, no way. I ain't taking you into that area.
I got lost right around there one time, and I don't know if that was you or Gina, Teresa or Gina. I got a police escort out of there. So what are you two doing here?
Yeah,
and they're, you
that
know,
is tough,
very
man.
Young teenagers. What are you two doing here? You're going to follow us out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad. And coming from Irvine to something like that, my parents, they weren't happy. And just one more thing, if you guys don't mind. One day I was at home studying, and I heard some gunshots. And so instead of ducking, I ran to the window to see what was going on. And there was a car driving by with, like, 2 guys hanging out with blue rags tied around their head. So I had just, I guess, saw the last part of a drive-by shooting. It was, that area was crazy.
That's awful.
All right. Adrian, we thank you for calling,
no
baby.
No problem.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. There she goes, man.
She survived.
Yeah. No, she lives in a tough neighborhood. I mean, that is probably the toughest section of Southern California to live in. that Coliseum in La Brea.
She wanted to be on
scary.
Her own.
I know, but when LAPD says, no way, we're not taking you to that area.
That's how you know.
Her own and dead, or on her own, with some people and alive. I pick the alive, although she did make it out.
It's important to have a low overhead in life, though. That was my philosophy when I moved to L.A. I didn't know anybody. I had no idea how I was going to get into show business. And I thought, I just got to have a low overhead. So I had my old car. It was paid off.
Right.
And my low rent.
Yeah.
And
one
room.
There you go.
Yeah. And all I dreamed of saying is, I'm in the other room. Just 5 years in that one room.
I'm in the other room.
I'm in the other room.
Yeah, Tracy, where are you? I'm in the other room.
That'd have been so nice to say. When my dad and brother would visit me, they'd have to sleep on the floor in the same room.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's no good.
That's
no good. But now you have a nice house, yeah?
When I was living in Koreatown, the pipes, the water pipes broke on the roof, and I was on the top floor. And so water was coming down into the apartment. But while I had left, it happened. So I came back with my girlfriend, who is now my wife, and there was two big trash cans there, and they were being filled up with water because this water was gushing down off the roof. And so I called maintenance, and they said, just leave those buckets alone. Move the bucket when one gets full and slide the other one in there. So we're sitting there, and we're in bed, and it sounds like Niagara Falls, right? So I said to my wife, I said, this is like really romantic. I mean, if you close your eyes and we shut the drapes, this is like, being right at Niagara Falls. And she's like, I really don't see it that way. And I just don't. It, the insulation is coming out of the ceiling. We're actually getting wet because it's splashing up on the bed. And I tried to sell it to her. I was like, listen, this is great. This is romantic. This is what you're looking for.
I like that you did that. Now, when you live in a bad neighborhood, things of no value get stolen. Over on Commonwealth, we had a little, I wouldn't call it a lawn, a patch of green on the sidewalk, brown on the sidewalk, but also a lot of dogs in bad neighborhoods. So everyone's pit bull would poop right there.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought a little sign for maybe 99 cents. It said, keep off grass.
Right.
It's not exactly grass, but you got the idea. And then the next day, the sign was gone, and I saw it down the street in the neighbor's yard. Those, are they kidding me? Do they not think that I'm going to see that they've stolen my sign? And then I thought, I am going to get my sign back. Then I realized that's Section 8 housing, and those are gangsters.
Yeah. Oh,
and
know
what? You can keep my sign.
Yeah. Speaking of something getting stolen that is of no significance, it didn't cost much, I was cooking chicken for my wife and I, and I was barbecuing. The barbecue was out on the porch, and I went in. We're drinking beers, whatever. Went back out there to check on the chicken, and it's gone. The barbecue's there, but the chicken's gone.
Somebody took your chicken?
Somebody stole the chicken.
You don't have to live in a really bad neighborhood for things to get stolen, I'm telling you.
But things have no value.
Yeah, but who's going to steal hot chicken? Somebody would have to have
an oven
mitt to steal this chicken.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but everywhere things go missing.
How old is your kid, Tim? I should know this.
2.5. She'll be 3, three in October.
And how is it so far? Do you like being a parent?
You know what? I never wanted to be a father, even though I thought I'd be a good one. And since I've had this kid, my life has changed 180 degrees. Something happens chemically in a guy when he has a kid, especially a daughter.
Some guys.
Most guys.
Some guys.
Did he go straight to the track from the casino? He didn't stop in between.
Yes. My daughter was 3 months old when she saw her old man get photoed out for the first time in Santa Anita. But no, I love my daughter.
You feel changed.
She's the best thing. I spend all day with her, and then I come to work.
And he has a heart now.
I try to wake her up at night when I get home and try to.
Now I get cookies.
He's a little softer. He's definitely softer.
I get scared because it's the only truly irreversible decision. And thinking about having kids, since I just got married, I'm scared that what if I don't know that parents are conning me? Because once they have the kid, they have to talk about how great it is.
Nah.
Nobody can really be
honest. That's true. Teresa's right.
No, you'll hear about. Listen, you'll hear about parents. Like, who's the chick from. What is the show on ABC, Desperate Housewives?
Yeah.
And the chick on that
is... Marsha Cross.
No, she's married to another big actor.
There's Eva Longoria. The older one?
Yeah, what's her name?
Felicity Huffman?
Felicity Huffman, yeah.
Huffman, yeah. Right.
Yeah, she's with Bill Macy.
Yeah, she had kids.
Yeah.
And somebody asked her about kids, and she said, no, it's a pain in the ass. And she's got two daughters.
People admit it's difficult. Yeah. But does anybody say they regret doing it?
No.
I never regret
I've
it.
I've never heard that.
The only thing I regret is that I didn't do it 10 years younger. When I was 10 years younger, I had more energy.
But you may not have changed.
You may not have more time with her.
You may not have changed. You may have still been running to some bank to get your cashier's check cash or some post office.
There's
with
nothing...
your baby in the baby Bjorn.
Right. But see, you two both think you know love. You have no idea what it's like until you have a child.
I know.
No, I'm aware that it's something totally different, yeah, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's a new level.
It is.
Oh,
right?
So you're going to have a kid?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
no
hope.
Way.
God
no
willing.
Here.
All right, let's talk to a Mike in Huntington Beach on 97.1. You live in a crappy neighborhood, dude?
I used to live in Nebraska in a crappy neighborhood, and it was a crappy duplex. It was a high meth traffic area near this lousy bar. And in the middle of the day, this old drunk chick with this crazy-looking wig comes up to my door, and it was a door that was half door, half glass. So she takes this brick, and she starts trying to break in the door through the glass, and she's saying, "You owe me money. You owe me money." I've never met this person in my life. And she keeps breaking through and breaking through. I call 911. The cops come, arrest her. I think it was like a couple days later, she comes back.
Oh.
But she's not drunk. And she, I guess, was court-ordered to apologize to me. but that's not the kicker. The kicker is my neighbor in the duplex was this total epitome of white trash, and he starts dating her.
Oh, no.
What a lovely way to meet somebody. Yeah. A court-ordered apology to the neighbor.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a nice story for the kids.
That's great, dude.
No? That's awful.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling. I had a pretty good friend who, when we were both single, we were at one of those bagel places in the morning, and this chick comes in, and she's like fairly attractive, but she's in her late 40s. And my friend's talking with her, and he hits it off with her, and they're gonna have sex.
Sure.
Right? So they're gonna go back to his place. They go back to his place, and she stays overnight. You know, they met at the bagel place. She stays overnight. Then the next day comes up, and she doesn't leave. She's staying overnight. And he says, "Can I drive you to your apartment or your house?" And she goes, "I don't have one." He was banging around the homeless chick.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
Where was she living? Not out of a car. Anything.
She had nothing. She had like a backpack that she was tooling around.
Ooh.
She would take showers like YMCA
Ooh,
and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
did she move in?
No, she didn't. But she moved out pretty quickly when he found out that she was homeless.
Would he drop her downtown?
I think he broke up with her based on the fact that she was homeless.
Yeah, you know,
wow.
Your person should really have the big three: job, car, apartment.
Absolutely, yeah,
and,
for sure.
But anyway, so for 2 days he was banging around a homeless. I mean, how do you limbo under that? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know how you do that.
Oof.
Talk to a David in Compton. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Yeah. This reminds me about 15 years back, living in Compton, and I was just walking down the street one night next to this park when these three smoking hot chicks come running out of this house, you know, looking about 19, 20 years old, and, you know, two of them are dressed in spandex, one in this really short pleated miniskirt, because they ran past me, that miniskirt was flying up. I'm looking at her ass like, oh, that's nice. Next thing you know, guy comes out of his house. He's got a gun, and he just starts firing. Pow, pow, pow. Now,
was it Charlie Sheen?
No.
Yeah, this happened in Malibu?
No. He missed him by a mile. Now, bullets on my head, whipping through the trees. So I duck behind a tree. Guys go back in the house. I go on my way like, what the hell? And you can tell by, you know, how young these girls were and the way they were dressed. Something went awry. Maybe over some money, or she's always going to get him a quad or something like that, and something went wrong. It was just weird. I mean, just...
Should I know what a quad is?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. The only thing a quad is, I think it's like the four-wheeler, you know, that you use on the sand, and you go...
What is a quad?
It had to be something about money or something, because something went wrong. This guy gets that upset.
Oh,
so,
I see, okay.
Some young, stupid girls playing stupid games, you know, the way they were dressed.
Right.
I mean, it's really ridiculous.
All right, Papa, we thank you for calling, and... It's like listening to a joke without a punchline.
Yeah, it's waiting
right,
for the
talk...
end of that story.
Yeah, Jesus, man. How about sitting next to that guy on the Amtrak all the way back to New York? Anyway, I got one more story here before we slide into Manhattan.
It'll have no beginning, middle, or end.
But let me tell you how they were dressed.
I'll use phrases and words you don't recognize. It'll be vaguely depressing.
And you'll have no idea what I meant by the time I'm done.
And in the end, yes, none of us will be the richer for it.
That's why when you go cross country... You have to lay a heavy racist or religious joke on the guy next to you and to see if he gets it or if he's going to shut down. That's how you do it. That's how you fly across country.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah.
Oh.
You lay a heavy.
Can you give us one?
Nah, I can't do it over the air. But it's either like a child molestation joke.
Right, right. Because really, those are always good.
A really radical racist joke. And then the guy next to you will either shut down the whole way there because he thinks you're a lunatic, or he'll have three or four good ones you can use in the future. That's how you travel cross country.
You're awful.
All right, let's talk to Mike in Silver Lake. You're on 97.1 Free FM. Carrie Kasem is with us, and also Teresa Strausser.
Teresa, my heart's broken that you're getting married, man.
Aww. She's married.
And, thank you. Yeah, I did.
And Gina's hot, too, so I'll take both of you.
Wow.
Hey, Tim, I called you from Century City that one time from the hospital.
Hey, hold on one sec. I think that's somewhat of an insult. It's like, yeah, Carrie's hot, too. I'll take both of you. You
know,
like
no, if, Gina's hot, not me.
Or Gina's hot.
Yeah.
I'll take both of you. You know, like if I had to do, you know, two women at once, which I don't like to do, I guess I'd settle on Teresa and Gina. What the hell?
Princess doesn't like that.
That seems to be radically insulting, you know?
Or all maybe right. He's just no, really Tim, into Jewish girls.
I meant that in the highest respect.
I see.
Actually.
Okay. All right.
I used to live in Los Feliz, but in 1996, right behind Jumbo's Clown Room.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's the only strip club I've ever been to.
And, you know, times change, you know? And when I lived over there, this homeless lady out there, she's like, she says to me one day, she goes, someone got killed with a hammer in that apartment building, you know, next door to me.
Right.
And then I had all these, one day I come home and there's all these like bullet holes in my bedroom window, you know. And then I thought about it, they're probably just BB gun holes, but still there are holes in my window. And then when I was sleeping at night, I'd hear gunshots all night. And I'm not talking gunshots in the distance. I mean, you can hear the person outside screaming and cussing as the gun is firing. And then you can hear someone outside going, ow, oh. Ah!
Oh,
for like a half hour.
Oh, so somebody got hit.
Yeah, and then it was really close.
Ow!
Now, did you rush out to help because you're a good Samaritan?
Hell no. I'm staying indoors. So then I called the cops, you know. I said, you know, this is kind of crazy. And then the cops like, okay, we'll come by in a week and see the holes in your window, you know.
Jeez.
So they came over a week later. They look at the holes in my window. And I said, hey, you know, we hear gunshots here all the time, like, but not just gunshots, but, like, we hear the people shooting the gun outside, like, screaming and stuff. And he's like,
wow.
You know, this happened down the street from the station.
That is a terrible neighborhood.
And like Mike, who's obviously not a good Samaritan, there's an old guy that got shot, got robbed and shot down the street not too far from here. And he would take a walk. He'd been in this country for about 40 years, and he was an older man. And his wife would always tell him, you know, don't go out. It's not the same as it used to be. And this was about a couple months ago, walking around this neighborhood. And he got mugged. He got beaten up and shot. And he, for a half an hour, was moaning and saying, help me, help me. Nobody went down to help him.
Oh, then he died, right?
He died, yeah. He died. Yeah. Just but Mike, you know.
That happened in this neighborhood?
Guy. Yeah, that happened not too far from here.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. But
it's awful.
It's not as sad as the goings-on at Jumbo's Clown Room. It's like, you guys have not been there?
No.
I haven't been there, no.
This place, the rumor is that Courtney Love used to strip there before she made it.
Right.
It's the only strip club I've been to. $2 beers and no cover charge.
Wow.
Seems like a bad sign.
Seems like a good sign.
What do the girls look like?
I was with, well, one in particular is seared into my memory because it seemed like she had a child very recently.
Wow.
In fact,
stretch marks?
She might have been coming from the delivery room.
Oh.
Was the kid
stretch
with her? Was the kid part of the ad?
The kid was half in and half out.
Wow.
That's how recent. There was the C-section
scar. But, you know, but that's
scar.
A real niche group. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a group of guys that really like that.
They like moms.
That's
she had the scar,
awful.
The very fresh scar and the stretch marks. And I was there. I used to be a writer before, and so I worked on teams, and they were always all guys. And I wanted to be one of the guys, and they said, we're going to Jumbo's. So I went, and I was trying to be cool. And then the stripper came out with, you know, who had obviously just had the baby, and they were all guys who I knew to be, you know, my peers, and they seemed normal. All
right.
Of a sudden, they were shouting, and they were, you know, cramming dollar bills into the girls' G-strings, and something came over me, and I got so depressed, and I just went outside and cried.
Now, but I heard a different story that when a guy put a dollar into the C-section, that's what turned you off?
That was the last straw. I didn't mind the panties, but when you put the dollar, and not a five, When you put that single right in the scar.
I would think you'd need quarters for that.
Because you know what's not sterile? Dollar bills.
I know, especially in that club. You know, that's the club where Arsenio Hall used to go. And I hope I'm not telling tales out of school.
Yeah. You go, dog!
But he used to go there, and there was a deaf stripper who worked there. And every time she saw him come in, she's like, "Hey, Arsenio!" It's like a real turnoff to the other guys.
Tall?
I don't know.
Oh, there was a deaf stripper that actually worked at, was it Crazy Girls? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful girl.
They just
feel
the music?
She was deaf, yeah. She could feel it. That's yeah, it. It's not odd.
She could feel her uncle molesting her.
but isn't that also like every guy's dream? I'm dating a deaf stripper? I mean, isn't that...
That
like,
combines two fantasies.
Yeah, but...
No, you want her to be mute, not deaf.
That's right. Okay,
right.
Mute stripper.
You need to listen to.
Well, no. Deaf stripper, because then you can still be on the phone with your guy friends and not have to whisper.
They can read lips.
Not when you're on that phone. Because, you know, when guys, like I'm sure you guys have friends like this, when they get married and then you talk to them on the phone, they get into, I was down there the other night. I went to this strip bar, right? And guys will remember the day where they didn't have to whisper, you know. All right, Teresa, I know you got to get up in the morning. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much
for
having
me.
This was fun.
And Carrie
Kasem,
we'll continue on with you. And we do news every night at 9 o'clock with Gina Gregg. Gina, what's going on with that news?
Well, the Logo Network is taking children's programming by storm, and your spouse is only lucky if you hate your job. This and more after the break.
All right.
I'm going to listen to Gina's news in the car on the way home because
Gina's
I'm a big
best.
Fan of hers.
Yeah, she really is the best. We have the top 10 coming up right now, David Letterman's top 10 list. The top 10 things David Letterman would rather be doing. And check out Teresa Strausser. You have your website, teresastrausser.com?
That's right.
All right. Check her out on the website. And awfully nice to meet you. We've been working here. I guess you've been working for 2 years, almost 3 years.
Yeah, and even before I worked here, I was a very big fan and always listened to your show.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes, baby. Excellent. All right, thanks for coming by. Please come by again.
I'd love to.
Nice to see you. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM.